Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That's right. The Drive is live, and we are live from NRG Stadium today. No big deal. We just had a little Odyssey event downstairs, so we said, hell, hey, we got the best crew in the house, best engineer crew in the house, promotions yes! crew in the house, and you know what we do? We just call up Raybo and say, "Hey, man, we got to do a show from the from old Andre Ware and Mark Vandermeer's seat up there. Can you warm them up for us?" And Raybo got this thing set up, baby. We got cameras coming, we got TVs so we can catch these Astros. We got all kind of stuff rocking and rolling. So y'all stick with us, and on that Astro front, we are. We'll keep you posted. Now stay right here. There ain't no need to go anywhere. And right now, the Astros are top of, or where are we at?
We're at the bottom of the second, and the Astros just got a runner on first. So it's clean right now. 0-0, and Hunter Brown for the most part is looking fantastic. Now the defense behind them could be a lot better, but so far it's a clean game. You got Alex Bregman on first, in the bottom of the second. So and of course you got Diaz up, Yainer Diaz up at the plate. So it's looking up for the Astros, at least for right now.
Yeah, it's early, and Hunter appears dialed in now, attacking the zone, stalking the mound. And
it feels huge.
One of them Altuve tosses over to first base that was a little too far up the line for
the yips, man,
for Caratini to catch. It would be a clean box score across the slate here, but nonetheless, no damage. 0-0, bottom of two. Stros are up. We'll keep you up on what's going on. But the biggest part of it is Hunter Brown is dealing, y'all. Now, also today's show, we've got D'Amico Ryans in full at 2:40. We got C.J. Stroud in full at 3:40. So you're going to stay plugged in. Yesterday was obviously an off day for the Texans. Today is that heavy work day where. You know, we'll obviously get the scoop from the quarterback, the scoop from the head coach, but we'll also at some point today have some level of an injury report to just kind of keep you up to date on the Texans and what's going on there. But back to the Astros real quick, B. Scott. Like we said, Hunter Brown is his go today, and he appears to be dialed in. When you look at this outing, now we know it's win or go home for the Astros, so it's obviously a huge game. But just from a Hunter Brown perspective, B. Scott, I know you had some thoughts about Hunter Brown and how important this game is, not just for him, because you are playing Detroit where he's from and the team he watched growing up, so I'm sure he'd like to really stick it to him and pitch well for 6, 7, 8 innings would be nice. But big picture for him and for the Astros, you got some thoughts on how big this game actually is.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously in the right now, if you're living in the moment, the weight of the game is that your season is on the line. Like, you need a big game from Hunter Brown just so you can talk about there being a tomorrow to begin with. So we start there. That's the weight of the game, whoever's pitching it. It happens to be Hunter Brown. But whoever's pitching, whoever's playing, every moment today matters because your season is literally on the line. But past that, to me, Hunter Brown being in this position, being in this moment, really like represents the Astros' future of their rotation, like at large, and what it's going to look like. And I hadn't even thought about this because Hunter Brown has been a part of the mix for the last three seasons now. Yeah. But this is his first postseason start. Like, he's actually been in the mix more so in relief for the Astros in the postseason. This is his first postseason start. And for it to come under these circumstances against the team that he grew up rooting for, but actually being at home in his home stadium, but being in a win or go home kind of scenario situation, yeah, to me, how he responds to that is huge. And I think we all like what Hunter Brown brings to the table, both from in terms of his stuff, his actual talent, his temperament. All of it seems to be made of the right stuff. And the beginning of this, the first couple of innings of this, actually, you know, rings true to that. So to me, it signifies, or symbolizes, I should say, the future of the Astros rotation as we know it. Because to me, and this is my takeaway from the last 2 days, really, you know, after watching Framber Valdez and looking forward to this game with Hunter Brown, if I'm thinking about who do I want to be at the top of the Astros rotation in the future going forward, how do I want the team to invest this money? I'm looking at Hunter Brown as being the top of the guys that are here now.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, not talking about going and getting somebody else, but of the guys that are here right now, I understand Framber was the one who started game one and is considered the ace of the rotation today. But going forward, bigger picture view, I view that guy as Hunter Brown, and today will be a hell of a day to him for him to affirm that.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's got to pitch well in the playoffs for us to think that or feel that way, right? I mean, then, like you said, this is the next step. This is big for him and his resume of taking that next step. If you obviously had a great season, if you show up in the playoffs and the moment's not too big, and really if you are bigger than the moment and you are your best at your best in that moment, then that's really the next step for Hunter Brown. There's really nothing else. Now, he's got to do it consistently, obviously, but there's nothing else for him to experience, for anybody to need any more evidence, if you will, that he is a top of the rotation type of pitcher. You pitch well today, at which he's got a hell of a start through two innings. Now, you pitch well today in this kind of fashion because this is impressive. Again, stalking the mound, attacking the strike zone, no fear whatsoever. Boy, he really takes his game to the next level. He really takes his reputation around the league to the next level.
And obviously what he does today, the weight of that is what we're talking about. But it's not like I'm forming this narrative out of nowhere because of what we've watched Hunter Brown do, of course, in the postseason runs in relief before, but also throughout this season, the jump that he had. Let's not forget that Hunter Brown, after that initial couple of weeks of the season, he really had a breakout year this year.
Yeah.
You know, set career highs in essentially every relevant statistical category that exists, whether it be innings pitched, strikeouts, his best ERA, like all of these things. And he had some stretches in there. Don't forget his month of June, which was brilliant. He kind of established himself, I would say, at that point, as at least in the moment, as one of the better pitchers, not just in the American League, but across baseball. He's got some streaks within there that rival pretty much any name your favorite pitcher across Major League Baseball if you have one. So he's put up the receipts in the regular season this year in his first, I would say, his second full season in the Astros rotation, and obviously in this situation today, his first career postseason start.
Yeah, it's big, man, and he's dialed in. We'll keep you posted on what that looks like and what this could potentially mean for Hunter Brown and the Astros moving forward. Today's lineup, you got Altuve leading it off, Tucker in right field batting second, Alvarez DH batting third, Bregman at third base in the cleanup spot, Yainer Diaz catching today in the five hole, Caratini at first base, Pena at shortstop, Jason Hayward in left after that good at-bat last night. Looks like two guys after a couple of good at-bats last night in the ninth earned him a little playing time here. Hayward's batting eighth, and he's in left field, and McCormick is batting ninth, and he's in center field. Interesting thought here with left field and center field, and really not that one of those guys is in the ball game, but as big a fan of Chaz McCormick as I am, and I hope like hell today – I was hoping last night he would earn his nickname back. I hope like hell today he swings it well enough to earn his nickname
back.
But it's interesting. Yeah, I wish them boy, them days, some good days right there. Hopefully we get back to them, B. Scott. But Chaz McCormick in center field. Jason Hayward in left field. Ultimately, no Dubon. I don't know where you sit on Dubon, but for me, I just got a lot of confidence in the guy. When it comes to quality at bats, even when you got like a guy like Scooble on the mound, you just feel like you're going to get a confident quality at bat damn near every time he jumps up there. Now, I did not watch it closely enough yesterday to know whether Dubon looked like $1 million or was he struggling. But interesting that Hayward and McCormick are both in the lineup and no Dubon.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that they wanted Hayward's left-handed bat in the mix, if I had to guess. Like that to me is the big change. Everybody else to me is really like, really honestly, Clint, these are all pretty much the same guy. None of them really stand out to me enough. I know Dubon has had his stretches and has gained a certain level of trust and equity build up because he's had some moments. But really, all of these guys are relatively the same guy. They just offer you something different in terms of, you know, the left-handed batting. And the defense, I think, varies as well. But to me, this looks like they were trying to go more. So, like, yesterday was more of a defensive game with Myers and Dubon out there. I think those are their better options defensively. And this looks like more of an offensive game. Myers looked lost at times. And then you've got Jason Hayward, who obviously has experience and a left-handed bat, and then you throw McCormick and hope like hell that he can recapture some of the magic that he's had somewhere in the past.
Yeah, and the other thing there, which I don't like to typically lean into this because I think he should play every day ultimately, Dubon that is, but you do. Last night they got into a situation where they needed several pinch hitters off the bench.
Yes.
Now if you need that pinch hitter, now you've got Dubon that you can go to. I think if and when that does happen, it would be big. So, again – the Astros are rocking and rolling. I tell you what, Jason Hayward, he's at the plate right now, Houston, and he, damn, he looks good at the plate right now. Last night and right now, he looks like he's old. He's the old school Jason Hayward. He looks confident up there. He's barreling it up damn near every time he swings a bat. He could end up being a real valuable pickup late in the season.
I know that the Astros typically do this with pitchers, and Yusei Kikuchi is the
who?
Latest. Yusei Kikuchi. That
I
is.
Say Kikuchi.
That's it. That is correct. and we do say Kikuchi around here. But
that guy right there.
That is the pitching example, and we know the Astros do this with pitchers. But there is a hope that Jason Hayward could be a lesser version of that, but the hidden version of that, like you can kind of recapture something. I know he's an older player now. But I definitely think that that's part of it. I really like your point, though, a minute ago about Dubon. I think sometimes in our angst, in our need to want to see more production out of those outfielders, you want to put Dubon in there every day. But his value really is, if those guys can be right in the outfield, his value really is being that Swiss Army knife who you can put pretty much anywhere. Like, the value in that, especially with a manager like Joe Espada who believes in going to his bench, you want to have somebody that you can rely on to go up there and give you a quality at-bat and can play anywhere on the field.
Yeah, that's B. Scott. He's in for Ron Ugly today. T-Mill, as you can tell with them couple of Kikuchi drops right there, he is locked and loaded. Back at the studio producing this thing. Again, we are at NRG Stadium. This stadium looks looks absolutely phenomenal.
Hey, right as we say this, right as we give Jason Hayward his flowers, he strikes out on 97.
That was a hell of an at-bat, though.
Yeah, it was, and that's a high heater. I'm not mad at that effort.
Hey, can we hit on something real quick before we get too deep into this game?
Let's do it.
Jake Rogers, who is the catcher for the Detroit Tigers, and I did not know this. I didn't even care to think about it, to be honest with you, but I think Tyler told me, or maybe it was Sean Bajani told me last night, he was with the Astros at one point in time in his career.
Oh, I don't think I realized that.
Hey, man, this is one of those moments where you got to have the right people in your life, man. Did you see that post-game press conference last night?
Yeah, I did.
Man, well, if he don't shave that, hey, if he don't shave that damn mustache.
What?
I don't know if I've ever seen a human being. I'm not a big mustache guy anyway. If you're Burt Reynolds, cool, that's great. But I'm not a big just straight mustache guy anyway. Sorry if you got a mustache out there. I'm sure you look great.
If you got a mustache, go ahead and grow that beard and get that goatee going, man. You'll be a better man for it, trust me.
Chief, I'm telling you, B. Scott, I don't know that I've ever looked at a human being and said, that man looks like a walrus. I mean, you put a couple of – don't walruses have tusks? Don't they have tusks? Look at that thing. Like, he doesn't have a chin. He doesn't have a chin. And so that mustache covers his whole top lip. It's bushier than hell. And literally, the most forward like the what reaches off his face further than anything. Chin, nose, forehead, nope. It's all mustache.
I wish I could share my screen with the audience right now.
Somebody in that man's life should have said, "Hey, man, that when you put that beard with that mustache, it looks clean, man." But you either got to have it all or take it all off.
But so I don't know Jake Rogers personally, but I do wonder, since it looks as ridiculous as it does, and I just pulled up a picture, since it does look as ridiculous as it does, do you not think, like, I got to assume, Clint, that this just got to be part of the joke. Like, this got to be him. There is no way in hell that Jake Rogers or anybody in his inner circle that care about him.
Right.
Playoff sash.
Either he look in the mirror or they look at him and say, you know what? This is it.
That ain't that.
This
there
looks
is
good.
Nobody.
There's no way that they think it actually looks good. So I'm thinking that this is some kind of, hey, let's laugh at ourselves, self-deprecation, I'm the joke's on me type of thing, because there's no way he thinks this actually looks good.
I mean, my man
zero
got
chance.
My man got 2-3 chins. Hey, but he ain't even got the, he got the bars on that one. Right now, it ain't nothing but the top lip, Chief. It ain't nothing but a caterpillar across that top lip.
He's got the caterpillar.
That's it, straight. It ain't coming down the sides like that.
I don't know if y'all can see the lighting is not good.
It is straight, and I'm telling you, when he was getting interviewed last night, I thought, yeah, that man looks just like a damn walrus. You throw a couple tusks on him, and it's over. To your point, like, that is a I'm a pro athlete. If he is married, then his old lady ain't got to work, and she don't care no way. And if he's single, I'm looking right there. You see, he's batting right now.
Yeah.
Hey, if he is single, I'm a pro athlete. And they don't get beyond the fact that you got an awful mustache working. And but yeah, he got to do something with that.
And it's bushy too.
Look at that. It just go. I mean, ain't got no chin. That thing. That ain't it, man. He got to figure that one out.
I've got to believe that walrus is what he was going for.
Well, he accomplished that. That's for damn sure. I guess he does have a little bit of sides to it. It just doesn't go all the way down like it did in that picture that you were showing. Hey, fellas, I got another question real quick. I was driving in today, and Houston traffic.
Ooh.
Houston traffic.
It's a booger.
You know, Well, Tyler, I mean, I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm not your typical boy. The traffic really bothers me. Like, I know I'm going to get in on the way home.
Same.
And I'll be honest with you. There's a little piece. It's a little piece in it for me. I get to chill in the car. I'm not in a hurry. I know it's going to take me an hour to get home.
Yeah.
And
find me a good record or a good podcast.
Decompress a bit.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Decompress is right. Yeah, that's so I'm cool with it. I'm going to tell you something, though, man. You're a POS human if you do this right here. I see an ambulance a lot of the time. Ambulance is getting through traffic, and of course everybody's moving over.
Yeah.
If you're one of them cats that ambulance chases, and you fall over behind the ambulance, and I know you fall over behind the ambulance, you ain't chasing your mom or your wife or your husband or something, you just falling over there trying to pull one over in the traffic.
Oh.
You're a real sorry POS, right?
I got this no is like use the people that you.
This is like the people that jump in the funeral procession.
Yes.
When they see it and they're like, oh, okay. Rest in peace. I'm with you too.
Hey, man, that's either they've already passed or they're close to it. They're on the verge of it, man. You can't be taking advantage of that.
That's real Turdish behavior, bro. You see it all the time. It's awful.
If I had a name, Tyler, I'd expect you to put it on the turd list.
It might be. I mean, because I'm with you on that. Traffic doesn't bother me too much, but whenever I see asshats in that traffic that isn't bothering me too much doing things that bother me, that might land you on the turd list. You never know.
Ooh, that's rough. Skeezy, you've been in H-Town for a while. You've learned to relax in traffic. What's your pet peeve?
Okay, so since we're going on more so behavior, because my pet peeve was going to be the way the 59-610 interchange was redesigned.
Oh,
my
gosh,
dude. How you have to go right to go left and left to go right in certain situations, and it just doesn't make any sense. I don't understand the folks that designed this. And this is not what I do for a living, but I know that if I did, it wouldn't have been that. I probably would have just left it alone. But since we're going on behavior, I would say this, Clint. I cannot stand the people in garages. And I don't know if this is just an exclusively Houston thing. It's just the fact that I spend most of my time in Houston. But when you're in a parking garage and a sun gun is in there flying, why are you flying through the parking garage? Like, is it not understood?
I got a 2 o'clock show, B. Scott.
Hey, but look, man, but we going to hit each other. We going to run over a pedestrian. And then you especially, Clint, when you ride one of those wide bodies, big bodies that you got, you cannot do that, man. You got to do your best to get to the parking garage as soon as you can. But once you get there, you got to slow it down, man. Like, I know in every parking garage I go to, I get anxiety, man, because I feel like somebody, not me, but somebody in there is going to do something silly.
Hey, that's it. End of the day, slow your ass down in the parking garages and quit chasing ambulances when they go through traffic, man. Just sit back. Half y'all smoking weed anyway. I can smell it when I'm in traffic out here on 59 anyway, man. Just sit back and relax a little bit and get gather your thoughts, man. Decompress a bit before you get wherever you're headed. All right, look, Jeremy Fowler, he wrote an article of ESPN, by the way, wrote an article on Stephon Diggs. And I don't know if y'all have noticed yet, if y'all have kind of come around. We got a game this weekend, and it's time to move on from the last game and get dialed in on this next game. Stephon Diggs, former employer, the Buffalo Bills, they come to NRG Stadium. And I don't know if you're aware, but there's a little history there. There's a little history there, and Jeremy Fowler wrote about it. The return of the Buffalo Bills and the concern that may be there with one of the Texans' best players. We'll discuss that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
CJ, and now Diggs joins them. Handoff, Diggs running right. He wants to throw. Now he cuts back. Diggs across the five into the end zone. Stephon Diggs, touchdown, Houston.
That was an interesting play right there. It was going to be a throwback, obviously, to CJ Stroud. The defense played it perfectly, but so did Stephon Diggs with putting his foot in the turf and getting north and getting in the end zone, making a play when there really wasn't a play there to be made. So big time move. When you call those kind of plays, you're always worried about the guy that's going to end up throwing the ball, getting too excited and just saying, to hell with it, I'm going to throw it up anyway. It ends up being an interception or a wasted down. But Stephon Diggs is clearly, in those moments, is a very level-headed dude and has shown the ability to make the right decision. He damn sure did there. Also, I want to remind everybody, we got D'Amico Ryans in full coming up next segment, so stay plugged in. Until we get there, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, he wrote an article on Stephon Diggs, which the conversation when it comes to the Bills game on Sunday, whether it starts with the storyline of Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, or they get there down the road, every conversation is going to consist of what this article was ultimately about, which was Stephon Diggs' journey from really Minnesota to Buffalo to Houston. And I tell you, B. Scott, there's a lot to tackle here. I mean, it was a hell of an article by Jeremy Fowler. But
yes,
just let's start with just the return of the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen coming to NRG Stadium with Stephon Diggs on the other side of the ball. Obviously, I think all parties will keep it extremely professional, but it's pretty obvious that there's some level of, I don't know if animosity is the right word.
Tension.
But tension's
tension
a good
works.
One. I would think from Diggs there's probably, you know, some want to of proving wrong. But just the return and that matchup this early in the season.
Yeah, if there's any question about what you're saying, Clint,
yeah.
I would say read the end of that article. Like it is a longer one, especially I would say for today's standards. But if you get all the way down to the end, there is a quote from Trayvon Diggs, Stephon Diggs' younger brother, who's obviously a cornerback with the Dallas Cowboys, where it's just kind of a small anecdote of them, you know, playing up. And it looks like it's kind of just off the record, off to the side. But, you know, the media is kind of playing up this matchup that's coming up between the Texans and the Bills, obviously with Stephon Diggs being in the middle of it, saying, hey, a lot of us are looking forward to it. And then Trayvon Diggs giving them that smirk with a me too. Right. And if we can remember, it is the younger Diggs brother who was also kind of fanning the flames on Twitter at times when things seemed to be going south in Buffalo for his older brother,
yeah.
Stephon. So that to me is enough reading between the lines. We understand these two are their brothers. They have a good relationship. You know, like he's probably got more insight to this than anybody. Jeremy Fowler, even teammates, you would say. So there is clearly more to this. Whether it's animosity, tension, whatever appropriate word you would use for it, there's clearly more to this than I think Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs have wanted to speak to.
Yeah.
Because they've been very diplomatic about the whole thing, publicly at least.
Yeah.
But the fact that this article would even come out and that it would be as in-depth as it was, and that it would give you some of the anecdotes about Stephon Diggs and kind of the way that he needed to be tended to, it for lack of a better term, I would say the word that stood out to me in this article was need. That it painted Stephon Diggs out as needy, whether it was attention or validation or just somebody that he needed to talk to or whatever it was. Yeah. Like that seems to be the theme of this article and the theme of the feeling of the sourcing behind this on Stephon Diggs. So yeah, there's definitely more than meets the eye, and we're not just like making this whole thing up.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. They painted the picture of him being extremely needy and a guy that was with an organization that won a lot of football games.
Yeah.
Now they couldn't win the big one. They couldn't get over the hump of Joe Burrow back in hell, what year was that? 19? No, it was before that. 22.
Burrow, 2022. Yeah, he didn't get there until 2020.
And before that, and even after that, it was the Chiefs, obviously. I think needy is right. Whether they needed somebody in the organization that would lend an ear to him and make him feel like he had input on things consistently, or it was a quarterback that would deal with it. At one point, they had to set the receivers on a certain space on the bench on game day because they didn't want him too close to the quarterback because he's hard on the quarterback. I think that started with Kirk Cousins back in Minnesota. And so needy is a good way to put it, B. Scott. I tell you, The interesting thing to me, and what more Sunday would be about, is more, it is clear in that article that whether it's Joe Brady or it's Josh Allen or it's McDermott, the head coach, like the Buffalo Bills felt like they would be a better team without Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. Well,
it got to a point where they did not feel like they needed Stephon Diggs to go continue to win ball games, and it became evident when they made the change at offensive coordinator and his role was cut that they didn't need they really did not need him to win football games, and I think that's blatantly obvious. But if you're Stephon Diggs, there's got to be a desire to want to prove them wrong. Like, see, y'all would have needed me today to beat the Texans.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to think about the beginning of this when he gets there in 2020, and they're essentially, obviously, Stephon Diggs was kind of a made man when he gets there from Minnesota. Yeah. You'd had the Minneapolis miracle, and we already knew who Stephon Diggs was at that point. But that's when he becomes an all-pro, when he links with Josh Allen. And, of course, we know that's when it takes off for Josh Allen. So to Stephon Diggs, the success is linked to this partnership. Yep. And now you're telling me you don't need me no more and I'm still pretty good?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I can see how you take that personally.
Well, it's also interesting, too, you know, some of the different Twitter action that he's been on is some folks made the comment that Josh Allen didn't necessarily need Stephon Diggs to be great, and he said, are you sure? And well, we fast forward to now, and Josh Allen is in the MVP conversation a month into the season, and Stephon Diggs, his targets and his catches aren't what they were in Buffalo.
Neither one of them needed the other to be great, but it helps great players to play with other great players, and I think they should both be smart enough to recognize
all day
that.
Every day and twice on Sunday. There's another part to this article that we want to get to, and that is what's going on in Houston and the potential of having something to worry about here in Houston. We'll do that later in the show. Right now, we got to jump out of here because we got Texans head coach D'Amico Ryan's presser in full. That's coming up next right here on Sports Radio 610.
I love D'Amico Ryan's.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Man, I tell you what.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. Brandon K. Scott. I heard him yesterday say, "They got to make sure they keep that K in there."
Man, Reggie threw that in there. I take the K. You can either way, man. Brandon Scott, Brandon K.
If
Scott,
I was doing
B
the show,
Scott,
if I was doing the show for me, it'd be skeezy all day. But we got to do it for the people out there. I got to make sure they understand fully who is in the studio with me and who in the booth at NRG with me today, because we are at NRG Stadium, home of the Texans. By the way, y'all, the field, the track for Sunday. You're going to like this. They got a little twist on this thing. This H-Town vibe, all the new graphics, it's going to be live. You're going to like what you see here. So get in the stadium early on Sunday. Get in here early, good and early, so you see that first kick, that opening kickoff.
A lot of people been waiting on this, Clint.
Yeah.
A lot of people. So if you are one of those, then now is the time.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of waiting, I know we got a lot of folks out there that have been waiting to hear from our Houston Texans head coach after Wednesday's practice. First full heavy work day for the Houston Texans was today. DeMeco Ryans met with the media afterwards. Here's your Texans head coach.
Even last week, like the play to get them back into the game was him scrambling, and he launches one over the defense's head, and they're back in it, and they have a chance. So he always has that explosive ability to him. And then Josh is a really big player, 6'5", big, tough runner. So when they do have the quarterback design runs, whether it's sneak or the zone read plays, like he's able to fall forward for yards because he's such a physical player. So really tough matchup, really respect. You know, what he's done in this league, how he's grown as a quarterback, and how he's, you know, led that team and kept them, you know, as a successful team every time they step on the field.
In the past, he's had some issues with interceptions, but through the first four games this year, he hasn't thrown an interception at all. What is the defensive mindset to go in and try to make him make those mistakes as far as turnovers is concerned?
Really great by him. No interceptions. He's playing clean football. He gets rid of the ball fairly quickly, and he's getting the ball to his playmakers on the edge there, and they're doing a good job of managing the game. When it's running, they run the football really well, throw the screen passes to keep him out of any tough situations. So they're doing a good job of managing it as a defense. As you see it, like, teams have had opportunities to make plays and intercept the football, but it just haven't came down with it. So our biggest thing is what we talk about every week, attacking the football, but we have to be able to maximize an opportunity. If he leaves one up there, we got to be able to come down with it.
How dangerous do you see them in the intermediate passing game? You mentioned the screens with Cook and Kincaid, especially. How dangerous are they in that area?
They're very dangerous when it comes to the screens. Like when their playmakers get the ball in their hand, or this Kincaid, Shakir, like when they get the ball in their hands, like they're tough guys to get down. They run with a physical mindset. Shakir, very shifty player, but he's physical. He finishes the right way. So it's going to be a really nice matchup to see, you know, our physicality matched up versus theirs.
What have they been able to accomplish with Joe calling the plays and the operation? Looked like last year they went a lot more run heavy, I think almost doubling their rushing attempts, and then they've done that pretty well to start this season. What have you seen from that?
I've seen Joe do a really great job of just managing the game and working well. They worked well together as a team. The way their defense is structured, the way they play, they eliminate the explosives, they make you earn it. Offense, you can see they do a good job of staying on schedule and staying on the field, right? It's whether it's running the ball, they've been successful there. Offensive line, really big O-line that do a great job of moving the defensive line, so they have a lot of space that they create. And Joe has done a great job just staying on schedule, and the quarterback takes what's there. Like, they're not making mistakes, and that's the thing that sticks out about this team. Like, they're not beating themselves with mistakes. They're playing clean football. They're playing disciplined football.
Briefly touched on CJ's throw to Dare in the check, gaining 31 yards last time. I'm wondering, does that show growth in his game? Just having the ability to take what's there and then allowing that to gain the yards you did?
The play with CJ and Dare was a really nice play by CJ. It does show the growth where he wasn't trying to force a pass that wasn't there. He wasn't trying to force an explosive when the guys were playing too high and it wasn't there. He was able to take the check down, and we see what Dare was able to do, you know, with the ball in his hand. So it does show growth, and, you know, CJ continues to grow each and every week, proud of, you know, where he is and the growth that he's shown.
Nico, Ryan O'Halloran from the Buffalo News. With Diggs, you talked about him the other day, but on the field, what makes him a good fit for what Bobby's calling and how he complements the other receivers?
Yeah, what makes Diggs a good fit is, first, he's a smart player. He can play multiple positions, so we're able to move him around a lot to try to get him in favorable matchups. And, you know, he's has some of the best hands that I've seen. Like, does a good job of catching the ball, but just his ability to play multiple spots for us really opens the playbook up for Bobby.
If he was, as a follow-up to that, if he was a younger player, would this be a bigger deal facing his old team as opposed to being a veteran now it's week five?
I think it's always, for that player, it's always in the back of your mind where it's a big deal when you play your former team, because it's a little added weight where you want to beat your team, but yeah, it doesn't change our preparation and how we go about our business on a week-to-week basis. It's a matter of guys just going out, and we have to play together. We have to play as a team. We have to play clean football versus Buffalo for us to have a chance to win this game.
So when you were in Philly and you faced it, it wasn't just another game. It wasn't the D'Amico, just another game.
Yeah, I mean, you have to make sure you stay focused and locked in. Like, a lot of times, some guys, if you make it bigger than what it is, then you get out of your element of just playing fundamentally sound and being where you're supposed to be. At the end of the day, it's still a game. Like, you really want to beat them, but you can't do more than you're asked to do. You just have to let the game come to you and make the plays that you're supposed to make.
I know that it's week to week, but, like, I've heard coaches, I think even Kubiak has talked about, like, back when it was a 16-game season, dividing it into quarters. Like, we want to do this the first quarter, the next. Do you do that? I know it's 17 games, so it's a little bit different. Is there like, some sort of, you know, we want to attack this quarter of the season and this quarter? Do you have that mindset?
I think as the season breaks down, you kind of naturally have those breaks, or we just finished that first quarter. Now, for me, it's like, okay, we're here in the month of October now. It's come upon us very fast. And for me, it's all about how much better can our team get in October, right? We, you know, with the opponents that we face now, it's a matter of, man, can we know we play sloppy football in the first month of the season, like not Texans football. So for our team and our message for us is, man, how much better can we get? And it just starts still one day at a time. But as a coach, you can't look at it in those, you know, four-quarter segments.
What did you been through a lot. What did it mean to have him back on the field today?
Wow, what an awesome story for Dylan to be back with everything that he's gone through, you know, battling cancer, and to see him back on the field after almost an entire year of missing football. Man, the way he handled it and the mindset in which he handled it, like, it was always still, he attacked it with a smile. He attacked it with a great attitude every single day, you know. Everything they went through, I can't say Dylan had a bad day, because he never showed it. And that's just proof to everyone. Like, no matter what we're going through, a lot of people out here battling cancer, battling things in life, man, attacking it with the right mindset, a positive attitude, really goes a long way. And Dylan represents that. And we're all very thankful and happy to have him back today.
What did you make of Blake's snaps when he came in for Laramie? I know he came in the middle of a drive, so yeah, you probably didn't have the moments to necessarily warm up. But what'd you make? I think it was about 20 snaps or so. What'd you make of Blake's snaps at left tackle?
Yeah, Blake's snap was a little up and down, a little rusty, where he missed a couple assignments on some plays, and some plays he has some really good snaps. So first time getting in there live action, regular season, it's just opportunity for him to see himself on tape, and really that opportunity for him to grow, right? And being thrown in is very difficult to do, being thrown in at when he was thrown in. But he was ready to go, clean up some assignments, and just keep working hard. Blake will be just fine.
Are Joe and Laramie trending in the right direction?
Yeah, day to day. We'll see tomorrow, see how it goes. We didn't have those guys out at practice today, so we'll see, you know, how tomorrow, see how the rest of the week goes with Laramie and Joe.
Good to have Tank and Jimmy back. How did you feel like those guys did today?
Yeah, very excited to have Tank back. Definitely missed him last week. Tank's a big-time player for us, so anytime we can, you know, we missed him. And so to get him back is huge for our offense and what we're able to do. So excited to see Tank back out there today. And also Jimmy, just him being out there and his versatility to help our defense is going to be big for us.
What was
Coach, I know you're not the one to make excuses, and so I hope this question doesn't come off like that. But when you look at the offensive line and some of the issues that they have, how much of it is due to continuity? I mean, this is Juice playing regularly now at center. You know, you're getting Kenyon back, and Juice also playing next to Shaq. You know, Titus was out, a couple of games last year. So this line is basically playing together for the first time in that first month. How much can you contribute to just the continuity of it?
Like you said earlier, Sarge, with the question, not making excuses for our offensive line. It's been, up and down. It hasn't been, all good, and that's part of the season, right? It's part of that first month of the season. You're finding your way, and you're not playing your best ball when you first start, but it's a matter of getting better throughout the season. And that game last week versus the Jags, I saw our O-line take a tremendous step toward getting better. Great job with the protections, giving CJ time to make those plays down the field to Nico. So I see progression. I see our offensive line getting better, and they'll continue to get better as the season goes on. So I'm proud of the work that they're putting in, right, to dial in on the preparation, to dial in on getting better each and every week. And so we'll see that continue to trend in the right direction. All right, appreciate it.
All right, that's DeMeco Ryans, your Texans head coach, weekly presser. A couple things that stuck out to me. We'll see what stuck out to Brandon Scott as well. We will react to DeMeco's presser next, as well as I know B. Scott's been chomping at the bit over here now. Do we have a DB problem in Houston after four games? We've done some digging, and Houston, you might want to listen to this with an open mind. We'll do all that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Oh, no.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.